opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, Northern California.
Good morning.
This is Nigel and James with the California Adventure District radio show.
Different intro.
Yeah, do you recognize it? No, it's your time to guess.
I was going to say. No, I don't. I'm pretty good with music. But
yeah.
I'm a little weak in that kind of probably a little bit rock genre.
So my stepson Tanner came up with a good idea. He said, hey, every ten shows, change up the intro song. So I think we'll keep this one for a while.
All right.
I'll
get the source at the break.
It's in memoriam of Mr. Dusty Hill, the bass player. So that's ZZ Top.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, now that you said that,
it's got that groove to it, right?
Yeah, it does.
So, welcome, happy Saturday.
Yeah, are you doing okay? Because I'm dying from the smoke.
I know the fires have gotten a little crazy. Somebody was saying that the Dixie Fire is now the largest single fire in California history, and it's 446,000 acres. It's 21% contained, which in simple math terms means it's 79% not contained.
Glass half full, Nigel.
That's right. From what I understand, and I could be wrong, somebody correct me, but I believe it's making its way up to Lassen.
Yeah, we've got to stop that.
So the officials in Lassen are saying, please don't come here.
Yeah, I can imagine, too.
Right.
Especially when they were now just going gamebusters, as we have been listening to our last few shows and getting some pertinent information of the uptake in visitations to the park. Since COVID kind of broke out, but it's just sad, you know. I mean, yeah, last night was awful. So last night was First Friday, which we participate in, and we at Enjoy the Store were giving away free chocolate.
And you didn't call me.
I needed some for the guests, right? No. So if you came into the store, you got to pick chocolate out of the chocolate case, and. It went from being bad to, by that time at the evening, 6 o'clock, to just absolutely horrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, usually I'm not super affected by it, but when I would go outside to get stuff and bring it into the store or whatever, I was literally like burning my eyes and my throat.
Yeah. So that means that this particular time period is not a good time to be outside.
No, but on the way here, I saw three people jogging. And I was like, are you mad?
Well,
you went for a mile run this morning and you probably smoked 50 packs of cigarettes.
That's right. Well, you know. So, yeah, they are. That's that doesn't make any sense. But so that puts the outside outside recreation in the do not disturb, right? So that means we've got to find stuff to do inside. Now, thankfully, there are a lot of things to do inside, especially in the realm of entertainment. Yeah. Live music is back with a vengeance.
Yeah, right.
Right, which is really good. So, and at 8:30, we will be joined by Julie Dyer. We all know Julie.
Yeah.
General Manager of Reading Civic Auditorium. Give us an update on everything. Well, not everything she knows, but. We'll get close of what's going on. But in the meantime, I'm going to give you a little rundown of
some of the things
that you can go do.
Well, I know that coming up, well, today, virtual speed dating for professional singles is happening in Lake Shasta.
Yeah, that's not me.
No?
No, I'm good.
A professional single?
No, I'm good. You can report from that.
That's not me at all. But I like the idea of being able to have that opportunity, I suppose. Yeah. Well, I've never done one of those speed dating things.
No, I'm good.
I was too old before that was invented. Yeah. But that's something that's happening today.
Well, tomorrow at the Civic, speaking of the Civic, tomorrow is Cole Swindell.
Yeah.
Country dude, I believe that is. Let's see, we have...
That's tomorrow?
Yeah. Oh, actually, that's at Rolling Hills. I'm sorry.
Oh, thank goodness. I was going to say, wait a second.
Because tomorrow is the bridal show.
The bridal show. It's like, what, did they double book it? Are we going to have to tear it down before the band comes?
No, sorry, I'm mistaken. So that's, because I'm looking at the
Look, you see me freaking out and looking, flipping through pages. I'm like.
So, yeah, so tomorrow is Cole Swindell at Rolling Hills.
That's indoors. Yep. I would assume not in their amphitheater.
No, actually, that is outdoors, isn't
it?
It's in their amphitheater, so there you go. That doesn't count.
Oh, the lasers are going to look awesome. All the lights. it's like natural fog.
That's crazy. And the bridal show is happening tomorrow?
The bridal show will be happening at the Civic tomorrow, yes. And I know this because we have a booth.
You do?
My wife does, yeah. So we have to get up nice and early and pack everything down there and set it up and then break it down and haul it out tomorrow.
I've only been to the bridal show once to take pictures. I think it was like 4 years ago, and I was surprised at how packed it was.
Yeah, no, it's a big event. I mean, it really is.
That's crazy. And then August 14th, talk about the intro band that we just played, ZZ Top. They're actually playing in Reno.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, nice.
I consider Reno to be relatively
I think Reno is one of those. Yeah, it's a. You know what I think it is for me is Reno is not excruciatingly far, but it's a beautiful drive, you know, while you're going there, so you kind of forget. It's not that monotonous, mundane, you know, 5 or 99 down the valley where there's just nothing. So I quite like going to visit to Reno. There's a lot to do there.
So
they're a good neighbor.
Yeah. They're a good neighbor. So ZZ Top is playing, and if you've been following, they do have a bass player, but the bass player has... he's been with them as a guitar tech and for many years.
Okay, so he's getting to fill in.
He knows what he's doing.
There's nothing worse than when a band like has that kind of loss, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, the show must go on, but...
Well, apparently that's what Dusty told Billy. So Dusty's the bass player, Billy's the guitar player. And apparently Dusty told him, look, the show's got to go on no matter what. So
what happened to him? Do you know? I didn't read.
He had some issues with the hip.
Oh.
I think he had hip surgery.
And he didn't pull through?
And complications, from what I understand.
Oh. Wow, that's awful.
Yep. And so the last couple of shows that he was actually playing, that he did play with him, he was actually leaning up against a cabinet. Oh. And he couldn't move. So.
Wow, what a trooper.
Yep.
Must be the magic in the beard.
Well, the new guy's trying to grow his beard.
One thing, too, that I wanted to just shout out because you shared with me, which was important, but we were going to be doing live broadcasting and have a booth at the Bigfoot Days in Willow Creek.
Yes, so unfortunately that's canceled.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to mention it, just so that people, if they, you know, had heard and talked about it. I had actually posted it on Enjoy Magazine's calendar, and I removed it. And I had to cancel my reservations at the Bigfoot Hotel, which was really sad. I kept apologizing. I kept thinking, gosh, how unfortunate for them, because they probably are looking at this going, you know, revenue, right? People are flooding in. The hotel's full. And I just said, I'm really sorry for this. And but they didn't even know.
Oh.
So I'm wondering if I was the first to cancel.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, yeah, the event's canceled. And they're like, what? And I was like, yeah, I'm really sorry.
Yeah. So that was So September 4th, we're actually very excited. We did reserve a California Adventure District booth.
Yeah, and we were going to be able to
do a live broadcast.
Yeah, the
maybe Bigfoot's happy about that.
Yeah, that's what I said too. He was like, "Phew, you know, I don't have to make any kind of appearances this year."
But I'll say this, it'll be interesting to monitor the quote-unquote reports, let's say 4 or 5 months from now.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever there's big fires like this, the sightings increase, Bigfoot sightings increase.
Well,
because
they could be on the move.
Because they're on the move.
Aww.
And I was surprised, actually, how many sightings there were. Was it 2018 during the fires we had?
Yeah.
Where people were freaking out when they were already freaking out about the fire, but then all of a sudden they saw...
They saw just a big hairball on fire.
A couple at a time, just crossing the road, right? So instead of a chicken cross the road.
Why did Bigfoot cross the road? Because he was being chased by a fire.
That's right. ZZ Top, we have Justin Moore coming August 18th.
Cool.
At the Reading Civic.
And we actually need to take a break.
We do?
Uh-huh. So, yeah, we're going to take our first break, and then when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about all the things that are going on in this great North State of ours, and things that may be coming up soon, things that are, you know...
Plan your calendar.
Right upon us, things that are happening today, and things that may be canceled. So
awesome.
We're going to take our break when we get back. We'll get back where we started. Thanks.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Grooving shop, good groove for a Saturday morning. Good morning, everybody.
Yeah.
This is the California Adventure District Radio Show. Julie, do you recognize that band? No.
But you're a rocker chick, I can tell.
Absolutely.
You just saw the moves, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I was like, all of a sudden I was like, this, yeah, she can do it.
I was a headbanger back in the day.
I believe you guys were negotiating for this band. I'm not quite sure if they're coming. ZZ Top.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
That's the same thing I said. As soon as I heard ZZ Top, I was like, I knew that.
But I knew that, right?
So why is it not coming into my head?
Yeah, it's okay. It's early.
Well, they were here a couple years ago.
Yep.
And they loved the room, which that's what they always say. They loved the room. So we're trying to get them back. They were supposed to be here, but then, you know, all the regulations didn't change fast enough. Yep. So... they're up at Britfest instead. But
so we have
right.
Julie Dyer in the house.
Yeah, she's early.
Which was great. So we're just, you know what? We're today, everybody's a little disheveled from the smoke. I think we all have a little bit of brain fog, right? So we're just going to throw her into the mix.
Throw her into the mix. And
we're going to continue what we were talking about, and then she's just going to actually participate. And then the second half of the show, I guess, we'll really focus on what Julie's doing and done. And
so this is...
and I wanted to say real quick before we get too far, thank you to our producer, Jared, for my wonderful shirt. It's a great family here. you know, we take care of each other. Nigel always brings sausages and sandwiches and things like that for the morning time, and we exchange really cool shirts. So this
didn't
is
come
the,
with merch. Oh,
yeah,
no.
I know, right? No, that's okay. But this is a undefeated hide and seek championship Bigfoot shirt. So since Bigfoot is one of our favorite guests and mascots, kind of California Adventure District, I appreciate.
Well, Bigfoot is definitely our most famous resident.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
And there's a policy that Nigel tries to remind everybody that if Bigfoot calls, he takes precedent over any guests.
So
if you want to call into the show, it's 530-605-4567, and you can also join the chat at kcnr1460.com. And so because the outdoors is closed, pretty much, we're trying to highlight some of the things that are going indoors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which was said on the chat room, somebody said, the best outdoor sport in the smoke is spelunking.
That's
you,
right.
Then you splunk right in, indoors.
Right indoors, yeah.
Thank you for that. That's a good one.
That's right. Well, so actually there is a Bigfoot cave in the Marble Mountains.
Is there?
I believe it's in the, I think it's in the top three deepest caves in the Western United States. Mm-hmm. Don't quote me on the number, but it's deep, and it's actually called the Bigfoot Cave.
Right.
For a reason. I guess it's very tight and very deep, and you can go down there and as long as you know what you're doing.
You know, I'm not afraid of caves in theory as far as the, I don't know, which collapsing or whatever. But I have to say that my son had an ecology trip, and we went up to the northeastern area of California where they have all the lava flows, and they have all these caves that you are self-guided, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was responsible. They broke the class up in, like, groups of six, right? And in my group, I had a young gentleman whose father was a Boy Scout leader, Eagle Scout leader. He was, you know, a firefighter troop. I mean, so this kid grew up with this really incredible outdoor gift and mentality, right? Where I'm a little bit more cautious, but this kid was like, come on, come on, in this cave, and we just kept going deeper and deeper until we're literally crawling through holes to get to the next part of the cave, and I'm like, no. I can't get my gut or my butt through the hole, and the kids are pushing me, and I'm thinking, I am so uncomfortable and afraid, right?
Yeah.
And so I kept trying to insist that we go to the caves that I knew had an open ending, right? Like, so you can start from one, even though it may be deep and long, if you just keep going forward,
right?
You come out, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, no. This kid took us into the cave called the Labyrinth, where it's only one way in and one way out, but when you're down, you know, 1,200, 1,600 feet or whatever it was, ridiculous like that. Literally, it's pitch black, and there are openings everywhere, and I'm like, switchbacks, and I thought, I'm going to have to eat all these kids. I mean, seriously, I was so freaked out.
Yeah.
And so, no, not my favorite, no. Nigel. No,
I'm massively claustrophobic. So, no, yeah, no. And it's not like tight spaces. It's the idea of not being able to get out. It could be a huge room. If I feel like I can't get out, that's when I'm going to be like massive meltdown.
Yikes. Ugh. So just a few more suggestions here that people can do, maybe not necessarily today, but over the next couple of weeks, there's a lot of music happening. Actually, one of my favorite bands from way back then, and I'm happy they're still going, is the band called Y&T. Do you remember Bank of Y&T? No, you don't? Okay, that's good. they're playing August. I'm sure there's going to be some people who are listening who remember Y&T. They're playing August 13th in Reno. And then we have, so Justin Moore's coming,
yes, to the Civic. Our first concert since
the
shutdown.
Are you nervous?
No. I mean.
Is the team ready?
They all forgot how to do anything. No.
I mean, that is the big, like, team thing is like, okay, it's always hard coming back after summer. Now, this has been the longest summer of our lives.
Now would be a really good time for everybody to watch Spinal Tap.
It's hard to come back from the last decade.
Right? Like the COVID time warp.
That's right.
Like, yeah. Yesterday, 10 years
Where's
ago.
Where's the light switch to the stage then?
There's also the Reading Roots. That's going to be starting in September. That's a little bit of ways away. But you start planning your calendar now.
Yep.
That's a music event. And then what is this? Saturday, August 28th, in Night at Music. This is going to be, I think, with Riverfront Playhouse, Jim Dyer, and a bunch of bands. So I know that Riverfront Playhouse has just partnered with the wine bar. What is it? Is it Vintage?
Vintage, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Vintage does a lot of music, but they just don't have the space. So, you know, the Riverfront has a new huge space that they can do events in, and they have a full liquor license, so they have a ability to serve on site. So they've created a partnership and are going to be doing live concerts in their little space down there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I keep telling them that they need to do, which I think they're considering, like a dinner theater, traditional dinner theater, where you know, you come to the theater and there's a play, right? And it's the one where it's kind of like a live or a wedding, right? And then the audience becomes part of the wedding party and everybody leaves the theater and walks to the restaurant. And then you have the sit down dinner, right? And the theater continues and you're all part of it. So that's something I think that they are considering. So
that's awesome.
Very cool.
So I know you didn't hear of a band called Y&T, but have you heard of a band called the Rolling Stones?
Absolutely. I know Y&T. Sorry, yeah. I was looking at the chat.
So the, from what I understand, there's a really good Rolling Stones tribute band coming to town. I don't know if they're local or not.
One of the best concerts I've ever seen was the Stones. My wife and I worked for my father, who owned KMS, one of the largest hair care companies in the world, right? And we used to be able to buy, we bought all the media for KMS. And we were treated by the Bon Appetit magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And Yvonne and I were flown to San Francisco, where we went to the Oakland Hills and had a voodoo lounge party with the editor of Bon Appetit. Amazing. Then they bust us into the Coliseum, where we got to watch Seal open for
the Stones.
Wow. And at the break, they served us a hot dinner in the place, and it was just insane. Mick Jagger, that man is as big as my pinky and never stopped moving.
Well, he's still going. He's still going.
Well, you know this because you've shot a lot of shows. Like, the magic is all in the front man. Yeah. Like, you have a good show when you've got a front man willing to lay it all down on the stage. It's
nuts.
Fantastic.
I just kept thinking, I'm going to have a heart attack watching him.
Right? Yeah.
So on August 20th at Wind River is a Rolling Stones tribute band. Let's see, Rudy Colombini and the Unauthorized Rolling Stones.
The Unauthorized, I love
so,
it.
So, from what I understand,
the pretend
from
stones.
What I understand, it's a really good front man and does the whole thing, right?
I mean, really, it's so, a front.
They're not
the front
quite
man
the
makes
stones
the show.
Yet. They're the pebbles.
The rolling pebbles.
Yeah, they're getting to the stones.
The skipping stones.
So, if you want to go get some Rolling Stones, August 20th would be kind of fun. That actually might be a fun thing to do.
Yeah,
Wind River. And you mentioned Voodoo, so Big Bad Voodoo Daddy is also on August 20th. Mm. That's in Napa. Mm. I know that we'll get into the numbers a little bit.
My guess is that we're going to have to watch very closely these events.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because, I mean, literally you blink your eye or you go to sleep and wake up the next morning and it's a different world again.
That's unfortunately true. Friday, August 13th, are they still doing this at Turtle Bay? The Bruise by the Bridge. It's still on the website.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one, I think.
On social media
I think that
yesterday evening.
I think that one's going to happen.
I think so. I mean, outside mostly.
Outside.
Yeah.
Lots of live music. lots of fun. So check out the Turtle Bay website. For the Bruise by the Bridge, Friday, August 13th from 6:30 until 9:30.
That's cool.
Be outside.
Yeah, and the other thing that's going to start, supposed to open up in the next couple weeks is live theater again.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, now they're all panicking and worrying because I get to see my dear precious Rhonda getting ready to pull her hair out. I mean, can you believe the Riverfront Playhouse has built an entire brand new theater? And they have yet to have a single show.
Right.
Isn't that nuts?
It is nuts.
Poor thing. So anyway, they're supposed to be launching here shortly, and they're going to be doing Clue.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be good.
And that was actually funny enough, we didn't discuss this at all, but that was one of the movies that we were scheduled to do for Movies in the Park before we got smashed into by a car and smashed our trailer and our equipment.
How did I not know that happened?
Yeah.
So one
you
of
must
the bands
follow me on social media. No, I'm just joking.
I am like a dark horse on social media.
So back in the day when I was doing my rock and roll photography, a lot of rock and metal, all of a sudden I had this guy from a record label contact me and say, "Hey, I want you to come shoot this band for us." I'm like, "Who is it?" It's like the Jonas Brothers, and I'd never heard of them. I had never heard of the Jonas Brothers. I'm like, "Sure, fine." went down and photographed them, and there was like a throng of people. It's like, this is insane. And they had one of their friends, Hannah Montana, do the opening act for them.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I had no clue. I mean, for me, it was all rock and roll. So I'm like, why are they, you know? But I get down there, and there's literally thousands of people. Anyway, so the good news is they're playing in Wheatland.
The Jonas Brothers?
Yep.
The Jonas Brothers are amazing.
They are.
I mean, they and
they're very talented.
Yeah, like, I was going to say
very actual musicians, that, yeah, not just faces.
I was going to say I think it's, you know, obviously because it's probably because they were young and how they associated with, you know, all that kind of stuff, and they did those goofy, you know, TV camp rock
camp
stuff,
rock.
Right? But they were young, right?
Yeah.
And you know, you just a lot of times, if you're a young fan, you don't give them the kind of credence, but. They obviously were very talented young men, and they have kind of grown into their own. And, you know, now that they parted ways and started to develop their own independence, and then they've come back together as a group because they're, you know, a close family. But there's, you know, Nick's, some, I really like a lot of Nick's music. Mm-hmm. And, what's the other one? I can't think of his name or their.
I still don't remember the name.
Nick, Joe, and.
Joe. Joe's the other one.
And.
That's,
great.
The other
the
one.
The dark horse. He's the dark horse of the brothers, and so we don't know his name.
Good. I still can't get over Nick marrying Priyanka Chopra.
Yeah, right.
But I didn't realize. I was like, they just look like they...
James, you know way too much of this kind of stuff. Yeah. Anyway, thank you. This is the first half hour. We'll be right back, and we'll get into the meat of it.
Time to
with,
go.
With yeah. Julie. So
all
we'll
right,
be right back.
Hold on.
Thanks.
Can I cough now?
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Good morning, Northern California. This is the California Adventure District Radio Show. My name is Nigel, and my co-pilot, Mr. James.
Yep, we're flying low today.
Yes.
Visibility is rough.
Yep. No takeoffs and landings.
Right. So we're going to just put a little boost in the engine today with our guest.
That's right.
We're going to put wind beneath our wings.
So sure. We have Julie Dyer with us. She's the general manager of the Reading Civic Auditorium.
Yep.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're wearing that Joan Jett shirt.
I am.
I love rock and roll.
I do. And I love Joan. I mean, and you guys
Joan
know.
Joan's killer.
I love Joan.
Yeah.
She was so great when she was here. She's just a fantastic human being. So.
And I got to, what I was really pleased by is I got to, you guys ordered a basket for the mm-hmm. green room.
Yep.
And we have an artist in our store that does journals that are made out of old records. And so I had her make... a journal for Joan Jett to put in her basket. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I put a little note on it saying these were not, you know, we didn't kill these records to make this. They were damaged, so they didn't play, right? So she knew. Because she'd be like, oh, this is super cool. Why the hell did they bust up my albums to make this, right?
Kitchen journal.
I know. Yep. So I said, and this is for you on your tour bus so you can write new music and whatever. But awesome. That I was super tickled about that.
Yeah. So I didn't know I was going to fangirl over her. Like, I've never fangirled over anybody in my life. Mm-hmm. They're up on stage doing their sound check, and I'm walking across in front of the balconies, and I look over, and I just I was overcome with the reality that Joan Jett was on our stage.
And she's tiny.
She's so teeny tiny. And then she was just such a great person in the room. I mean, she was kind to everybody. She just...
I had that same
really
experience
nice.
At the Cascade Theater with Pat Benatar. I got to go behind, go backstage and meet her. And she comes up to my waist, right? I was like...
They're all so little.
And I was like, how do you sing that loud?
Yeah. Whispering, so whispering in this thing doesn't make a difference, by the way, just so you know. as you may or may not know, I had a long history in shooting live bands, especially in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s. So when I came to Reading, I didn't know what to expect. And I remember the first time going to the Civic and going, wow, this is actually a really good stage, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been lucky enough to go all over the world and shoot a lot of bands and all kinds of stages, big, small, and some are amazing and some are really horrible. So I was actually
Nigel's very modest about his past.
Yeah, well,
you were a rock star too.
No, it's all good. I just take pictures of the rock stars. I remember the first time shooting at the Civic. I'm like, well, this is actually a really good stage. Like. First of all, it was bigger than I thought, and I know the lighting is dependent on who's coming, right?
Yeah, most of them come in with their own production to add to what we have in the house.
Yep. And so, you know, for a while there, I photographed a lot of your shows, and I was really surprised. It's a great venue.
It is a great venue, and it's so funny because Reading loves to hate the auditorium because I mean, you know, it's a brutalist. It's a brutalist building. That's the architectural style. It's not.
I didn't say it was a pretty building.
It's not pretty.
Well, see,
right.
I totally love it. I like it.
Yeah, it's the thing about, and that's what, you know, when people are fortunate enough to get a tour of the Civic by Julie Dyer, the general manager, like they get this full spiel about like. This is such a gem in our community, and don't let the outside fool you, right? Mm-hmm. Because on the inside, it's my family's big Doctor Who fans, and so it's kind of like it's bigger on the inside because it can do more than what you think it can.
That's so funny.
And it was, you know, most communities that have a 1,000-seat banquet hall, 40,000 square feet of exhibitor space, and a concert hall, those are three separate buildings. Mm-hmm. The fact that our, you know, city forefathers had this vision for having a facility of that size for our community, because that was super visionary back in 1945 when the idea first started getting pitched.
Is that how long it's been?
That's, yeah. Carl A. Williams, if anybody listening knows Steve Williams, the insurance guy here in town, it was his grandfather, it was his vision. He pushed it for 35 years until it got built. It was oversized then. You know, our concert hall is a little oversized for our region. We make it work. But it's that it's the diversity of the space that is what makes it
all kinds of
doable.
Stuff goes down there.
Yeah.
I mean, well,
it's awesome.
You know, you go in there and see a concert and it's full, and then, you know, the next morning you're having a bridal show.
Yeah.
Multi-level. And
exactly. And we've literally had a big band. So we had an artist on stage, Blackberry Smoke. And I don't know if everybody will remember when we had them here, there was that big snowstorm that shut down Tacoma and like stuff in Oregon. And so there was a very, the band for a large act that shall remain nameless. Everybody would recognize them if I said it, stopped by because they're friends with these guys. And then they were like, this building is so amazing. Now, we could never book this band because they fill stadiums.
Yeah.
So they're like, can we get a tour? And so started taking them on a tour. So it's super. I mean, artists love, when I said it earlier, I'm not kidding. They come into the building, they're like, whoa, this is amazing.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, on the chat room here, it says by a gentleman, the War Pig, I would always wear a Sammy Hagar shirt to the Civic if I had one.
Well,
from what I understand,
I mean, I would too.
I wasn't here when Sammy played, but from what I understand, the Sammy Hagar gig, whenever that was at the Civic, is one of the pillar shows.
Yeah.
People still talk about that one.
Still talk about it, yeah. And it's, you know, it's interesting being in this position because I, you know, and if you have any people listening who can dispel me of what I think happened, because I don't actually know, I didn't live here then. Is that there was kind of this pinnacle of vitality around the Civic in the 80s, as far as like bigger names and bigger like conventions coming in.
I would say that's true because I've lived here off and on, right? And I remember there have been some pretty amazing shows there.
Yeah, and and one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is that for both conventions and artists, like the industries today are completely different for what was going on back then. You know, they used to make money on an album and tour to support album sales.
Yeah.
Well, now they tour to eat. And so it's made the dynamic of who we can get in for what price a whole lot different than it used to be. I would love to have Sammy Hagar.
Yeah.
But I don't know that we can afford Sammy Hagar. He's probably $500,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, so a lot of these bands are kicking back up, right? Getting back in the swing of things. I'm not quite sure what's going to happen here in California over the next couple of months. Yeah. But so Sammy Hagar's back out, and when you see some of their videos, he's one of those bands. And when you see some of the videos of their recent shows, they're playing small.
Are they really?
Small. Well, I mean,
I'd have a conversation with Nathan.
They'll.
yeah, I was going to say, what's that saying? Right, the only thing you can hear is no. Right.
Well, exactly. And we do like our talent.
I'm sure I know Nathan.
Yeah,
does.
You guys know Nathan. And Nathan is our talent buyer for the audience listening. And so he's responsible for either negotiating directly with agents to get acts in or negotiating with outside promoters to get acts in. And we ask a lot of big, hairy questions just to get told no. And it's like a volume business.
Yeah.
You just have to keep casting your bread on the water, and eventually one of those will come
Nathan,
back.
Nathan, if you're listening, I'm sure you are. You know, Sammy Hagar's only a phone call away.
I'm sure he's listening.
Are we in one of those places, like this is the other thing, and I'm sure you've sorted that out, but like a centralized area for bands leaving more Southern California going into the Pacific Northwest? I mean, is that like obviously up five? I mean, would they consider stopping and just throwing a show together, or is it still just all about dollars?
It's like the idea of, and I don't know where, maybe it did work like this back in the 80s, but I know in the community here there's kind of this mythology around, oh, they'll just stop on their way and play, which is and isn't true. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, so we're a tertiary market, so Los Angeles, San Francisco would be considered primary market, Sacramento would be considered a secondary market, and we're, you know,
third.
And that might be aspirational. So, like, they're not ever coming to Reading as a primary destination. They're filling around those other dates. And because they can get paid more, like even if they're playing a room the same size as ours in those markets, they're actually getting paid more money, and those concert goers often are paying a little bit more in a ticket price, those kinds of things. So
this is true.
You know, this is the thing of like we have to be a solution for them in how they're pulling the tour together. And so yes, we're a fill market. But we really have to be in on those conversations at the beginning so that we remain a viable option as they're sorting through, because they're going to land primary dates first, secondary dates next, and then start working on fill dates. So that's, you know, it's not as straightforward as just, hey, would you want to come play here on XYZ date? Mm-hmm. Are they touring that year? What kind of tour are they doing? Are they on the West Coast for that date? You know, there's a whole lot of things that go into it.
It's a
tough one.
Yeah.
And honestly, the West Coast is hard to tour, period. There is a lot more touring that goes on east of the Rockies on a more regular basis.
Because
there aren't that many primary markets on the West Coast. You can name them.
Yeah.
There's
on one hand.
On one hand, pretty much. And so, like, it's just, it is, when they said West Coast tours is a whole separate thing that they're doing. And
well, for a big band, a West Coast tour is maybe four shows.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. There's more now to do because we have these new arenas that have come up in Sacramento and San Francisco, but still, it's still a handful versus they can fill 50 dates on a tour east of here.
So what's the, quote-unquote, physical health of the Civic nowadays?
Physical health of the Civic. Well, physical, financial, like, are you talking about humans? Or are you talking about money?
Just the overall health of the Civic.
Yeah, the overall health.
Well, we're being buzzed by our wonderful producer, so rather than cut you off mid-answer, we'll get back to that in a second. So we'll be right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Good morning. We're back.
We are back.
I'm gonna have to crank that song on the way home.
Right.
Up
I
loud
know.
In the car.
Buzz makes Bucks. Me want to say. I know that it's not, but I'm gonna buy it to the bone.
No. Buzzbox, what do you do? So
when we left.
Yes, when we left, we have Julie Dyer with us, general manager of the Civic Auditorium. So I was just inquiring about the overall general health of the actual building itself.
So the actual building itself, as far as like being COVID ready and all those kinds of things, it's another great thing about the building. It's part of why we got tapped to be a field hospital, because our air exchange is at really high volume rates. It's an easy building to keep clean.
Because it's solid rock.
Because it's solid rock, yeah. And there aren't a lot of surfaces for people to be, you know, mm-hmm. touching and those kinds of things. And so we're fortunate in that way. And we were already operating at a pretty high cleaning protocol standard. So, you know, all it really meant for us to meet OSHA and CDC and California public health guidance, all the things, was just changing out some cleaning products and increasing the rotation of bathroom cleans and the high touch kind of areas.
It's a new radioactive spray you have to use, right?
Right. Yeah.
There's a small uranium, you know, right, two parts to.
Right. We all glow in the dark. It makes raving really awesome. Yeah, so it's, and we're really fortunate. Our lead maintenance staff, he's done commercial cleaning for a long time, so he was really up on those skills. And so it was, well, you know, it really was a seamless transition from what we already do.
The building is always spotless, inside and out. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think, you know. We were fortunate enough, obviously, this year again to be able to use the front lawn. And, you know, it's always just, it's a great backdrop for movies in the park. And the lawn is great. Somebody, so much room for people to be out and spread out. But I'm always, you know, we're going to be there tomorrow for the bridal show, but I come in and out of that building all the time, and it's always clean, always, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know, it really is.
I know this may be premature, but any ideas for another Red Sun Festival? Because that was actually kind of cool.
It was kind of cool. This smoke is kind of throwing me back to
I know,
September 2018.
Because it was like this then, too, was it?
It kinda? Was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really was a red sun.
It really was. Well, I mean, that's always in the back of our mind of bringing that back. It really was. It was the trifecta of things, right? The car fire happened, and then we had smoky air with air in quality in the 600s and 700s up until 10 days before the event. And then the forecast was for thunder and lightning. So it was like, okay. But that's getting the outdoor space on the lawn figured out is something that is definitely a priority for us. It's just, you know, just like, you know, with movies in the park, it's definitely underutilized. It's also expensive to reconfigure all the infrastructure that we have inside
for the outside.
For the outside. So, you know, but we're working on that, and that's part of our like
long
term plan.
We're easy breezy. We bring our
you guys take care
our
of your
trash and electricity. We just need a little water this year, which
you were
gracious.
You guys are amazing. Like we have to have somebody there just in case. But
unfortunately, I think this is the first time that we hit a sprinkler line. Did you hear about that?
I didn't. I'm not surprised, but you'll get a bill for that.
Yeah.
From the city.
The other question I have is because this is the California Adventure District show. So I'm out in the various counties quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm surprised how many people actually supposedly come to the Civic for shows, right? Especially from Humboldt. So I'm not quite sure if you have any idea as to what the demographics are from our surrounding counties.
Mm. So we have a really strong pull from the Chico area. We, on the average, just like the big hairy number is 36% of the attendance to any of our ticketed shows comes from more than an hour drive away. So, so that's significant, you know, because it's evening. You have to assume it's evening. People are drinking, and so the likelihood that they're getting hotel room, eating out while they're here, all those things are actually really pretty high.
Yep.
And then as far as like on the coast, we actually have a pretty significant, I would consider it significant percentage of it's probably about like 5% of any of our ticketed shows of people who are making that trek, you know, uphill both ways.
literally in the snow.
To come see. And if Connie Johnson, who's over on that side of the world, is listening to this radio show, she's been one of our faithful members at the Civic, and she's just a very lovely human being. We always try when we can to take extra care of her, because she does. When she comes to probably more shows than a lot of locals do.
Wow,
she just loves to come to shows. And
she's where?
She's over in Eureka. So it's just really interesting.
We're love people.
We have
that
people
are like
who
that.
Come from the middle of Oregon pretty regularly, and for the right show, we will pull from San Diego, from as far south as San Diego and as far north as Seattle. We actually had, for the prices, right, we had a family of seven fly in from Palmer, Alaska, because it was the only date on the tour that they could still get tickets to, and they wanted to come. So.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Isn't that crazy?
And I vaguely remember the prices, right? What was that show? Was it literally like...
Yeah, they do the show on stage. Like, in the big wheel at the end. They can win prizes,
damn,
everything.
I didn't know that. I would have been there.
I would lose on that one. But you hit on something that's important. You know, the entertainment industry in general, but... So a place like the Civic has a huge economic impact.
A huge economic impact. Yep.
On our city.
Mm-hmm. Right? In a non-COVID year, the Civic Auditorium, and it's several business sectors, right? Like we talked about before. Yep. So we do a diverse set of things. So between the concerts, trade shows, conferences that we host, not including any impacts from school that's in the building, it's $46 million of economic impact into our community every year.
Oh my gosh. I had no clue.
I know, right?
Much higher than I would have anticipated.
Yep.
So exactly right. So when people, especially when people come from out of the area, which is, I'm going to assume that's key, right? People come from out the area. They need to find a place to eat, right? Mm-hmm. And if there's three or four of them, there's three or four people in restaurants, right? And if they come from relatively far away, they're going to have to find a place to sleep. So it'd be interesting
And sometimes they will extend their stay to do a few things that they might want to, just because since they made the trip. Have you noticed a much higher interest in the Civic and booking or event things because of the Sheraton and the restaurant? Does that seem to – is there any kind of synergy yet in that regard?
Well, there is synergy. Mm-hmm. The folks at the Sheraton are great to work with. I mean, they are really fantastic. The interesting, this has always been a bit of a curious conversation with us, because there are certain acts that having a 4-star hotel or higher, like we missed out on Tony Bennett because Reading doesn't have a 5-star hotel. I mean, he's in his 90s. If he's going to say, I don't want to go anywhere that there's not a 5-star hotel, he has every right to do that. So. he's a legend. Uh-huh. So, I mean, that certainly is something that helps elevate the reputation. Mm-hmm. But as far as, like, actual traction on business, what we do at the Civic is having more of an impact on how full the restaurant is, room nights, things like that. Okay. Not that they need tons of our help, because they're great, and they're a fantastic option. But then we also try to collaborate on RFPs for conferences and things to where, like, the Sheraton can't quite
do all the things. The Civic can't quite do all the things.
Sure.
So
yeah.
Can we come together to where we can still host this conference and they can, and the campuses are really close to each other, so it feels cohesive to them. So, yeah.
Well, that's why the conventions usually, a lot of the convention facilities have a hotel. Partner hotel that where it's connected, you know, that kind of thing. So,
So can you give us a little taste of what's coming up, supposedly?
Yeah. So, well, like you mentioned, we have Justin Moore on August 18th, and then we roll into September, and we have the home show happening September 18th and 19th, and then we have Lee Bryce coming September 25th. And then we have a slew of, like, this is, Nathan would roll these things off the top of his head, but am I going to roll them off the top of my head? No. We have about eight or nine, it's 8 to 10 shows on sale right now that have spanned between now and spring of next year, and we have a couple more coming online in the next couple of weeks. And, I mean, we are seeing really good traction. You know, folks are, it didn't happen. You know, waiting until May 25th or 26th to define mega events was a little hard for the industry in California because everybody was already touring back east, and so they were already getting back to work, and so it's kind of delayed things. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like I mentioned, like ZZ Top was scheduled to come, but then because that announcement didn't happen soon enough, they had to readjust their tour to outdoor venues, and so, you know, we just couldn't pull the trigger on anything outdoor at that point in time, again, because of the cost. Mm-hmm. So we had a few things that, like, we had two shows go down to Rolling Hills that had been a hold on our calendar, and then ZZ Top up to BritFest. So, you know, it was easier to get outdoor stuff figured out, and now they're still working on. Again, California is always a nut that they have to, a difficult nut for them to figure out touring, and then you add all these COVID restrictions on top of it. And so, you know, we're seeing lots of interest, which is normal. Like, Nathan is always, in a normal year, busy, you know, offers, dates, all those kinds of things. But then, like, they're putting together a whole tour. So that's a minimum 90-day, minimum 90-day process. It's usually more like a 18, you know, 90 days to 18-month process. Somewhere in there is how long that's taking them to get that all figured out.
Well, I definitely appreciate that the Civic is here.
Yeah, so do I.
I've seen some pretty good shows there. Corn was interesting.
Yeah.
Corn Day is what we call it at the Civic. We learned a lot. That day really, we went into it thinking we had a lot of stuff figured out and then went, oh, no, this is what it's like when you go that to that next level of artist. Yep. Because until then, we'd had kind of a certain price point in the room that price point
expectations
easier to handle in the room, and then Korn came in with expectations. We rose to them, and I'm glad it happened. But it was a love hate day for us. It was an awesome show. It was a fantastic show.
Well, Joan Jett rocked. So
yes,
there you go. All right, so we want to thank you very much for coming on
for
our radio show.
Yeah.
And this went by quick.
It always does.
So,
well, I like to talk. So,
yeah. Well, thank you very much, Northern California, and we will see you next week.
All right. Have a good one.